Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined by Bobby.
Howdy.
And we are missing Howie because snow.
Yeah, apparently he's not a true Western New Yorker. And to be fair, neither am I. I'm a transplant here. But I was prepared for this winter storm that came, and he wasn't.
If we back up 1 week, last week we talked about when are we going to get real snow. And I said it would be much later in the year. Howie said it would be the 1st of December, and you said, oh, it's going to be Monday. You were right, because there's a foot of snow outside right now.
Yes.
And I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. And here's why I said that. Having lived in Western New York all my life and followed patterns of snow, because you know when the snow comes, it is extraordinarily rare for Western New York to get a foot of snow before Thanksgiving. It's very, very rare. So when they said there was snow coming in and they were getting 7 to 10 inches, 9 times out of 10, when that comes across the screen, we don't get it. Lockport is in that, you know, the bubble of awesomeness is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we miss the snow belts off Lake Ontario and the snow belt off of Erie. But I think this time it just kind of was a general snow. There was no lake effect to this.
Well, the lakes did fuel it. Both lakes actually fueled it. Once that system got over the lake, you could watch it continue to grow as it was moving. Like one side would just stay put, like the western edge of the storm would stay put for a while, and it would just grow and push itself out towards the east. So the lakes were fueling it up to a point.
But typically, we would not get this. This is not a normal snow for us. And I was basing it on 40 plus years of having to suffer through Western New York winters. And it threw me for a curve when we actually got this much snow. I had a phone call yesterday from my mom and dad down in Florida and my friend in North Carolina. They go, oh, it's snowing like crazy up there. And this was like noon and it was snowing, but it still wasn't really sticking to the ground. There's maybe a quarter inch on the ground at that time. It had been snowing for a couple hours.
Yeah, we had about a half inch, maybe an inch in the backyard. Yeah. But it was like,
you could still see grass.
Yeah, it was settling on top of the grass, and that's where you were getting the accumulation. But it wasn't like, you know, so heavy that it was pushed down to the ground and then accumulating from there.
Yeah, it was kind of hovering.
Yeah, it was doing that little hover thing.
And I'm like, yeah, we're not really going to get that. And then it must have been 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, and the snow started, really started.
Oh, yeah.
And the wind started.
Yeah.
And then I said, we're done now. And then when we recorded Shenanigans, we walked outside and I was like, oh, man, that's a lot of snow. And so I stayed up probably for another hour afterwards. I was reading a book and just kind of generally winding down, because after you record like that, you kind of wound up.
A little bit. Like I went home, chocolate chip cookies and some other things. And then, you know, I watched an episode of the Great British Baking Show with my wife, because I, for some reason, that show fascinates the crap out of me.
So I walk upstairs at the end of my night, finally. It's probably about 12:15, and my wife has to be up early this morning so that she can take her mom to a doctor's appointment in Rochester. So she's driving right along that snow belt, if there's still snow. So I look out the window, and when you first look out the window, you really can't tell whether it's snowing or not, because the snow was fine enough that you really couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Then I look, there's a street light directly across the street from my house, and I look at the street light, and I'm going, oh, man, it's coming down hard.
It was doing it this morning, and it was supposed to stop.
It was supposed to have stopped
at by like 5 or 6 this morning, and it was still snowing all the way up until like 9 something this morning.
We were waiting for the bus at 9 o'clock, and it was snowing pretty hard.
The bus was late this morning picking up my oldest.
All the buses were late, it seemed like.
Yeah, like nobody was prepared, hence why our fellow dad, you know, Howie, is not here.
We'll get that to that in just a second.
Yeah. But just so to clarify, the Western New York transplant was actually right on when we were going to get the snow. Now, part of that is because I read the Farmer's Almanac, but I also look at various weather, well, I guess you say news channels, weather information. And then I kind of put stuff together because being in the military for 20 years, everything for me is weather dependent. Like, I need to know, do I need wet weather gear? Do I need cold weather gear? Do I need warm weather gear? Like, what do I need? You know, and so, you know, I pride myself on being prepared. So, you know, my snow thrower, the garage is clean. Snow thrower is sitting up front by the second garage door, ready to go. Got gas in it. Got snow shovels out. Everything's ready to go. I've got my vehicle parked in the garage on the other side. And the snow comes and I'm like, yes, I was prepared and this worked out perfect. So I got up this morning at like 6:30, got the snowblower going at 7, clearing driveways, the patio in the backyard. No problem. Easy.
Well, thanks to you and your help this weekend, I did get my garage ready so that the snowblower was ready for this morning for my wife to snowblow at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's fantastic.
Yep. I got up and everything was snowblown. And actually, I thought she had to leave by 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At 6:40, I jump out of bed realizing she's still outside snowblowing. So I'm yelling out the window at her. She can't hear me because of the snowblower. So I find one of the kids' coats and I'm waving it out the window because I'm not going outside because there's too much snow and it's cold. It's really cold. And she waves at me and I'm like tapping at my wrist like time. And she's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, it's almost 7 o'clock. You have to leave in 20 minutes and you haven't showered or anything yet because after you snowblow, because the exhaust from the snowblower, you just reek like it all day if you don't take a shower.
Well,
afterwards.
That and you tend to sweat a little bit too. So
she puts the thing in idle and she walks up to the house and she goes, I don't have to leave until 7:30. I'm like, oh, well, that's not what you told me last night. So I was trying to, you know, prepare her for, you know, make sure that she wasn't going to miss her time to get to Rochester, especially with the snow. And then the kids were barely moving because they were convinced last night that they were getting a snow day today. We were eating dinner, and they had some app on their phone that says, what's the likelihood that school will be canceled in your zip code? So they put the zip code in, 14094, and it goes 98%. Like, we're not having school tomorrow. And they, like, they planned their evening around that. And then when that phone call didn't come this morning, I was like, praise Jesus.
He's like, hey, that 2%, you know, we're 2%ers now.
Right.
You know, like, woo, kids are off to school.
What I was concerned about was them missing yet another day in November because they had Election Day off.
Mm-hmm.
They had the 1st of November off because of the windstorm.
They did.
Which was Friday. So, so they had Friday off, then they had Tuesday off. Then the little kids had a half day on Friday.
Yep.
Monday, yesterday was Veterans Day, so they had no school, and they're going to cancel it again today. I doubt it. There's no way they're going to do it. Plus, they have another half day before Thanksgiving, and then Thursday, Friday off.
Yep, and then you're coming up on Christmas and New Year's, so they're going to get that time off. And I mean, there is going to be a few snow days in there. Like, it's guaranteed. We live in Western New York. It's going to happen.
We went years without a snow day in Lockport. They used to complain that they would let them go to school when they shouldn't have. But then when they do cancel school, it's like, oh, I used to walk to school uphill in 4 feet of snow. You know, there's always those people.
Here's a picture of the Matterhorn. This is what I had to walk through to get to school.
Right.
You know, like, okay, whatever. We didn't have that problem in the South. Like, if they put snow in the forecast in Texas, where I grew up at, they just canceled school immediately. They're like, oh, there's, you know, 10% chance we're going to get snow. School's canceled. Like, we didn't play with it because nobody has equipment. They don't sell snowblowers in Northeast Texas, you know, where I grew up at. They don't, you know, there's no salt trucks. There's no plow trucks. Like, you don't see that kind of stuff.
Now, my buddy who lives in North Carolina, when he moved from here to North Carolina, took a snowblower with him. And when he got down there to the new neighborhood, his neighbors laughed at him for having it. He goes, I'm not getting rid of it. I'm not getting rid of it. They had snow the last 2 years. He was the most popular guy on the street. He made mad cash.
Of course he did. You know, that's like if for some reason I was to move out of Western New York and move a little further south, I'm keeping my snow thrower. I love that thing. You know, and I tried your trick of this morning of, you know, using the...
It's too heavy.
Yeah, it was too heavy this morning. I was like, this stinks. You know, so I put it back and I was like, crap, I'm going to have to use the old brush. And, you know, that took like 5-10 minutes to clear off. And then,
Yeah, this was too heavy. When it's that, when it's good packing snow like this is, the leaf blower does not work.
Yeah, that was a wet snow. I was expecting more of a, I was hoping for a little bit of a drier snow.
If it sat on top of the lakes at all, it's going to be wet.
Oh, yeah. All of it went over the lakes. And so I was like, you know, I can hope for a dry snow, but I guarantee it's going to be wet. And it was a wet snow. And I wasn't really, you know, thrilled about it because it's heavy. It stinks to shovel it. But
I can't shovel it. My back will not allow it. Yeah. I shoveled the sidewalk last night so that it was not slippery for anyone who walked over.
Mm-hmm.
And that about killed me, which it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it can't do anything. And I don't like that. Now, in Western New York, we do prepare for our winters. Apparently, Howie didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
The first thing is make sure your garage is clean so you can get your snowblower out.
Yes.
Which you and I both did.
Absolutely.
In fact, you came to my house to help me with mine.
Yep. It's just hanging up some bicycles.
Right,
but
just to get them out of the way so there's room to move things around.
Yeah.
We don't need the bicycles now anyway. There's no chains for them.
Let me put these chains on my bicycle tire here. You know, look, I'm hardcore. You know, no.
The other thing you do is you back your vehicle into your driveway because it's a heck of a lot easier to pull out of your driveway when there's snow in it than to back out.
Definitely with a truck. So I back my truck in.
We back both our vehicles in. Now, if you look, mine's not backed in, but I didn't go anywhere yesterday or the day before with my vehicle. So it hasn't been moved since Saturday. So I'll go out later today. I have to take two of the kids to bowling, but I'll take my wife's truck because the bowling alley, I can't get out of the parking lot with my car because of the steepness of the parking lot. I bottom out going in, even in good weather. The bowling alley parking lot's terrible over there. So I'll take her truck. Plus, they have their balls and all that stuff, so just easier to
get
the truck. But typically, my car will be backed in. All winter, I'll back in so I can get... It's easy to get in and out.
Yeah, like I was out on the roads this morning before they were, you know, before the sun came out and started to melt the snow on the roads, and it was slick, like really slick. It was a lot of slush, and some of the snow had been packed down and turned to ice. So I threw the truck in four-wheel high. I was like, yeah, this is the time I'm going to use four-wheel drive high. Like, a lot of the times, I don't even use four-wheel drive when I'm driving my truck in the winter here. But the roads weren't salted. They barely got cleared because, you know, someone in their infinite wisdom, you know, we didn't get the leaves picked up off the curb, so they're plowing around the leaves.
Well, part of the problem with the leaves was they hung around far too late. They were on the trees a long time. In fact, if you look outside now, I can see a tree right behind your head that still has a bunch of leaves on it.
There's one right over there.
It's crazy how it's midway through November and there are still a lot of leaves on the trees, which could be a problem if we get another snowstorm or an ice storm. You weren't here for the October surprise when we got that ice storm.
No.
All the leaves are still on the tree. That was a disaster.
My maple tree literally lost all of its leaves overnight. The day prior I was out and I you know, got the mail, the maple tree's right by the mailbox. So I was like, crud, this thing's got all its leaves still. I'm going to have to end up picking all these up. The next morning I come out, they're all on the ground. And I was like, okay. The tree was like, I'm done. Here's right. My leaves. Sure. I mean, it's just a little weird because normally in Texas, it's like, okay, yeah, about, you know, November, December time frame, we'll lose the leaves because that's what we do. And then leaves will start growing again in like March because you're wearing shorts again in March.
I was going to ask you about that. Do the trees lose their leaves in Texas?
Yeah, a lot of them do. I mean, you still have a leaf problem, not as bad as you do here.
I don't have any leaf problem.
I know.
We discussed this before. They blow out of my yard.
Yeah, because of the way your house sits and the direction the wind usually prevails from. So because I have that privacy fence, when I get leaves...
Oh, they get captured.
They do. And usually it's about 3 or 4 tarp loads from the backyard. And then the front yard, I just generally take my leaf blower and just blow them all up towards the road.
Now, the way your house is and that privacy fence, I bet you if you left your gate open during a windstorm, it would blow them right out of there because it would create this wind tunnel. They'd swirl up and go into your neighbor's yard right over the fence.
It's
because the garage and the house will make this great wind tunnel.
Yeah, maybe, but most of them swirl around in the big open part of my backyard.
I think you should test that theory sometime.
Depends
on how nice you are to your neighbors.
Well, my neighbor has a pool. And okay. I like my neighbors.
Well, it would be the neighbor behind where there's more of that empty field going towards where the...
I like them too. Like, I like my neighbors,
right?
You know, so, and I try to be respectful and whatnot. I mean, now granted, some of their leaves from their trees fall into my yard. Okay, that's fine. Some of my leaves fall into their yards as well. So
right.
We kind of get a mix. So, I mean, everything kind of evens out.
It's not like at Howie's house, though. Have you seen how many trees that guy has?
I would just set his front yard on fire.
Really?
I mean, just lighter fluid. You know, we'll do a controlled burn. Look, there's no more leaves. Perfect.
Or trees.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a lot of trees in his front yard.
There are. And in the backyard. But the backyard ones, I think, are the pine trees.
Yeah, they're going to keep a lot of those needles.
Meanwhile, Howie's still at home.
Yes, he is. Because he wasn't prepared.
He was not prepared. His wife's all-wheel drive Traverse got stuck in the driveway. And so he had to try to get her out of the driveway.
I have no words.
I don't either. I thought he was messing with me when he texted me this morning. And I can't make it because of weather concerns. And I'm like, really? What can be weather complications is what he called it. I go, what can be complicated? We only had 11 and a half inches of snow. We didn't get quite a foot.
No. But
basically a foot of snow. It's sunny out. Your kids are in school.
Yep.
What could be wrong? It's a glorious day.
It's turned out to be a really pretty day.
Right.
You know, the sun is out. There's no clouds in the sky now. You know, there's this bright white with all the snow. So everything looks clean. The air has been scrubbed. So the air is very fresh and crisp. It's a great day to have a hot cup of apple cider and watch the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, boy. Maybe we can get them as a sponsor then, I guess. The one thing I love about the first snowfall when we actually get it like this is, like you said, the pristine look that's all white. And then the kids come along and they destroy that pristine because they have to walk all through it. Like the kids waiting for the bus this morning, we had these beautiful shoveled and snow plowed paths for the sidewalk.
Yep.
And then the kids came and now there's lumps of snow in the sidewalk. And I'm like, I'm not going back out to shovel that. Come on. It looks so good until the kids went out there.
Yeah, because you know, I love making the geometric patterns, like, you know, that nice, crisp, clean line.
Yes.
From, like, using your snowblower. It looks, you're like, yeah, you know, it's like making a kill zone or something, you know?
The peanut gallery behind you is giving you looks.
Well, the lines this morning were not perfect. Her and I both, you know, because she's like, hey, do you need my help? And I was like, yeah, probably going to need your help. You know, so she came out and she finished doing the patio area. And then she got out and did some of the driveway, like around the truck and in front of it. And then I, you know, got the snowblower and did, you know, 90% of the driveway. And I got the front of my driveway cleared. And then here comes the plow. And he sees me with the snowblower. And he just plows my front driveway back in again. And I was like, you know...
That's why when I shovel my driveway, which happens occasionally, I put all the snow at the south end of the driveway rather than the north end. That way, when the plow comes, there's less snow to be pushed back into my driveway.
Well, see, that's why, like, I do put some on the left side of my driveway, but it's in my yard. It's not like the left side of the street, like right there on the curb. Now, most of it goes on to the right side, like, because my front yard, I can get a lot of snow into my front yard. And so I try to pile it all into my yard. So, like you said, you don't get that, you know, when the big snow plow from the city comes down, they don't plow your driveway in.
And you don't get the big trucks like we do on this street.
Oh, no. I had the big truck.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. We have the big trucks.
Usually
that come down.
Usually you get the mid-sized trucks for those side streets like that.
Well, we have my next door neighbor. He owns a concrete business, and then in the winter he plows. And then I have another guy a couple of houses down who has a plow on his truck. And usually between those two, they keep the road pretty good. But the city does come down with a plow from time to time, and then they're pretty good about the salt trucks coming down all the time. And I would have liked to have seen some salt like thrown early in the morning, but
that was Friday morning. Friday was terrible. I took my daughter to school at North Park for the ceremony they had, and then I had to take the youngest one from there over to Ruby Kelly. And coming down Davison Road, right by the golf course, it was all squirrely because the way it snowed a little bit, and it got really cold. It was only like 22 degrees, so it was very squirrely right from the corner of Wallen Street up until you got to the actual county buildings at the golf course. It was super slippery.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have thrown something there. But they did have it at the intersections. Most of the major intersections had some salt on them.
You know, there was a few places the intersections were a little sloppy. And so, you know, I made sure there was no traffic coming, you know, because I'm still a big kid. So I took it out of four-wheel drive and gave it a little gas and kind of fishtailed out into, you know, my lane. Yeah, there's no traffic coming. I mean, there's no traffic for 100 yards on either side of me. So I was like, okay.
The cool thing about having a December birthday was that we got our driving permits in the middle of winter. So we learned to drive in the snow from the get-go. And one of the things that I would do was I'd have my car, and I'd still do with all my cars. I'll go to a parking lot, and I'll see what it can do.
Yeah.
Just so I'm familiar with what the car does or the vehicle does when mm-hmm. certain things happen. So can I make it slide out, and how does it feel when it starts to slide out? So that way, if I'm driving someplace, I'll recognize what's going to happen. But yeah, we do donuts in the snowy parking lots.
I mean,
we had to
why
get
not?
There early enough that the plows hadn't plowed up the parking lot. Like here at the studio, I got to get the plow guy to come to the parking lot here.
Yeah, because I was telling my wife, I was like, hey, yeah, we're just going to park in his, you know, in the driveway over here. And then we get up here and I was like, man, it's not even plowed. Like,
no.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got to be done sometime today.
Yeah, so we parked around on the side road, you know, and walked over. No big deal, you know. Yeah.
The sidewalks are done.
Yeah. The sidewalks are good, you know. But yeah,
my plow guy was running out of time.
Yeah. Like, I know a guy. Well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, the first, you know, big storm, I mean, it's going to be frigid cold for the next couple of days because
Until
still have
Sunday,
that.
Sunday, 40 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah. And then I'm like, really? So now we're getting all this sickness from Canada. Thanks, Canada. So, you know, all that stuff, all that Arctic air coming out of Canada and all their germs. So, woo, you know, now I've got, you know, the French Canadian flu or something. And then we'll finally, you know, get a warm front that's going to come up and take us back to the 40s for a little while. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
I gathered all the wood for the fireplace and then didn't light it.
We didn't use ours either.
And the only reason I didn't, we were discussing this a little bit before we started, my house is utterly destroyed. All the stuff was, the last of the winter stuff was brought out of the attic and it spread all over the place. And I just can't fathom putting flaming logs in the fireplace when there's that much stuff just scattered around the living room. Just seems like it'd be a dangerous thing. So until I get that cleaned up, which is what I'm going to do when we finish here, is clean up my living room so we can fire up the fireplace.
We just kind of did that last night. Like we took and moved the dog's crate out of there and put it over into, I don't know what you call it, the breakfast nook, the eat-in portion of the kitchen.
How are they when you move their crates? Do they kind of freak out a little bit?
Mm-mm. He just goes, I open his crate door and he goes right into it. Like he knows when we're, our hound dog, he knows exactly when we're leaving and he starts whining and whimpering a little bit. And then when we go to leave, I just open his crate and he walks right in. Like he knows. So I don't have any problem getting him in or getting him out. But we added two more chairs to the living room. And it looks nice. It looks a lot more warm and inviting now that the dog crate is out.
And your dog likes the snow, right?
Both of them do.
Really?
They end up with the snow on top of their snout, so they look like they've been riding a white pony, you know? Like, you know, crack addicts or something. Yeah, they're both rescue dogs from Waco, Texas, but they love the snow. So they see it snowing and they start whining. They're like, oh my God, it's snow, it's snow, it's snow. And then we get enough accumulation on the ground. It's like, all right, go. And they are just tearing around the backyard. They're like rolling in it. They're, you know, doggy fighting, doing whatever dogs do. But they're eating snow. They're rolling around in it. They have a blast.
My dog hates the snow. When it's time to go outside, she tries to lift all 4 feet off the ground while she pees.
It just falls flat. Splat.
It's awful. She'll whine. Now, she did something yesterday that I've never seen her do before, and I thought it was really cool. She has this habit of sitting in the armchair by the front window and looking out the window. She likes watching people go by, and she'll bark at all of them. Drives me crazy. Like, you don't have to bark at everybody. They're on the other side of the street. They're not even looking at you. Stop barking.
Today, I saved you from 40 high school students and a mailman. You're welcome.
Oh, she cries when she sees the mailman because he, you know, normally brings her a treat.
Ah.
So she's like, oh, here he comes. It's like the ice cream guy. When he brings the ice cream, he always has a biscuit in his pocket. Mm. So she loves him. So yesterday, It was just getting dusk. There's just enough light that you could see outside. And my wife comes around the corner, and the dog was looking out the window, and she realized that it was Wendy coming home. She started whining, and she literally, in one move, went up and backwards like a cat. You know how cats can move in two directions at independently of each other without actually doing anything? She did that, ran to the back window, was going, as Wendy backed in the truck. Like, so she recognized the vehicle coming around the corner and then ran to the back window and whined for her to come in. Now, the dog has severe separation anxiety. So the kids were all home yesterday. So it threw her off because typically just her and I. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of let her leave her to her own devices. I'll take her out, you know, like twice during the day just to make sure. And she'll let me know if she needs to go out more than that. Typically, I take her out as soon as I come in from putting the kids on the bus. I'll send her outside. That gives her a couple hours. Then at lunchtime, I take her outside. Normally, when I have to go outside to get something out of the outdoor refrigerator for lunch is when I'll take her outside then, get my stuff for lunch, then bring her back in. And then she goes back out when the kids get home. But now that they were home yesterday and now everyone's leaving again, she's whined all morning. And we got this water spray bottle, and I spray her when she whines too much. Like, I'll go over and pet her, but then she won't stop. She just keeps going. Like, if I did nothing, she would whine for 4 hours. I'm like, come on, just stop whining.
Unacceptable.
It is. Though when she sees that green water bottle come out, she stops pretty quick. I don't have to even squirt her. She just knows.
Yeah, like our neighbor's daughter came over yesterday and played with our two little ones in the backyard. And our dogs, my border collie, Della, saw. And so she goes to the big window in the eat-in portion of the kitchen. And she got her paws up and she's like losing her mind. Like, oh my God, like I must protect you from this, you know, small child. And I'm like, my two little ones are out there with her. You know this child because this other child has been in our house before and our kids have played with this other child before. Like it's fine. And, you know, it's a good kid. No issues at all. The dog's just losing her mind. Like, why? And so it took about 10 minutes of me yelling at her because she was like trying to sneak off and go back so she could bark. And I was like, Della, like, go lay down, sit on the couch, chew on a bone, be quiet, lay down. And I'm like, it really made watching my baking show very difficult. And so I was upset. I really like this baking show. It's fantastic. And my wife's going to take credit and go, I got him hooked. I don't know, maybe, you know, I give her a little credit on it. But I mean, I like to cook anyway, so... You know, watching this show, plus it's the complete opposite of Gordon Ramsay, because you know how he's like, you know, putting two pieces of bread between, you know, on somebody's head, and he's like, what are you, idiot sandwich, and cussing and yelling. There is none of this. Like, there's no cussing, there's no yelling, and people actually help each other out, even though they're all in competition with each other. And some of the stuff that they bake is just fantastic.
My kids watch one. It's from Australia, I think, and they have these aspiring bakers, they're doing confectionery stuff, cakes and pies and all that stuff. They give them the most ridiculous concoctions to try to make. There's like zero possibility they can actually make this thing. Like, professionals are having a difficult time with it. And here's this beautiful thing, and then you give it to these three contestants to try to make, and it's always a disaster. And it's really funny, but I'm like, but you're embarrassing these people. Because, you know, here they think that they're coming in to be on a baking show and you're making something that's totally unattainable.
Well, some of these things, like one of the
but I love watching it too.
Yeah. Like one of the things they had to bake yesterday was this Italian pastry that's filled with a jelly or a custard or something like that. And it's almost like phyllo dough with the amount of layers that it has in it. And so they're normally, they were like, this is like a 3 or 4 day process for you to, you know, get the dough ready and get it kneaded and fold it over so many times to create these layers and stuff. And they're like, but you guys have 4.5 hours. And half of them pulled it off. Some people were just like, this, you know, your dough needs help. You know, your jelly wasn't right. Some people got it right. Most got it wrong. But I was sitting here and I was like, man, the amount of time, because you got to take and roll this out like really thin, and then you got to stretch it, and then you got to roll it, like actually start rolling it on top of itself to make these layers. And so you got to stretch it and kind of keep a consistent width, because then you got to slice it and make 24, and then you got to flatten it out and make these little cups, fill it, and then close it, and then bake it. And they don't tell you what temperature, how long to bake it. Like, they give you very, very vague, generic, instructions. And that's part of the beauty of it. Like, they have a 19-year-old kid in there who's apparently, he's just outstanding with flavors. Like, he's a really good baker, but some of his stuff doesn't turn out the way, you know, it's supposed to. But the flavors that he combines is what's kept him in the show. And he's really gotten a lot better. Like, he's consistently now in the top three. But now we're getting ready to get down to the last five, I think it is. So we still got six. We're getting down to the last five. So
I think that we should have a Niagara's water cooler, the Dads Must Be Crazy, Shenanigans, whatever, baking contest. You guys out there, our listeners, bring us your favorite dessert, and we'll taste test it for you on either of the two podcasts, and we'll talk about it. Just be prepared that if it's on the Shenanigans one and we don't like it, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah, that one, there's really no filter.
None.
On that one. I mean, we do filter some things. Like, there's some lines that we just won't cross, but
yeah. Yeah, we have disinvited people before for crossing that line.
Yeah. So if it stinks, we're going to tell you in not a politically correct way.
But we'll try it.
But we will try it, absolutely.
Now, if there's anyone out there who can make a lemon meringue pie, a good lemon meringue pie, there are people who can make lemon meringue pies, and there are people who think they can make lemon meringue pies. And my birthday's coming up, and I don't like birthday cake, but I love lemon meringue pie. The best one that I've had recently came from the intern at work, which sounds wrong. I just made an offhand comment one day that I loved the lemon meringue pies and my birthday was coming up, and the intern made me one. Like, I don't know if I can accept this. So I shared it with everybody in the office because
it's okay then. I mean, right. If you share with everybody, it's fine.
It pained me too because it was so awesome.
That's like, I'm not a very big cake fan.
Right, me neither.
I love pie. Mm-hmm. Pie just makes everything right. It fixes what's wrong with your soul. It gets your mind right. It just, a good piece of pie is just like, it's got this magical healing power. It's just amazing. I love it.
My second favorite pie is a homemade blackberry pie topped with homemade vanilla ice cream.
Okay. So you're doing like a homemade blueberry pie a la mode with homemade right. vanilla ice cream.
Because there's nothing cooler than kicking that can around the backyard, having the kids kick it so they can make ice cream. Because who needs one of those plug-in automatic ones? You just take the rock salt and the two cans and you kick it around the yard. That's how you make ice cream.
My favorite pie is a chocolate meringue pie.
Oh, I like that too.
It is my favorite pie. Have you ever had icebox pie?
What's icebox pie?
It's the only thing you bake is the crust. So you bake the crust beforehand, and okay. then you make the filling, and then you dump it in the baked crust, and then you just set it in the refrigerator for like 8 hours, and it's done. There's no baking involved.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's just called an icebox pie. It's pretty simple to make. Lemon meringue pie is fantastic.
Yes.
But I think my second favorite pie is key lime pie.
I've never had a good key lime pie. I thought when I was in the Keys I might get one, and we went to a place that was known for their key lime, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, my wife can make some pretty wicked pies, and they're, like, she makes a pie, and it doesn't last very long. Like, it's gone.
So I wonder if she'd be willing to bring one to Shenanigans or something for my birthday on the evening of, we'll be recording on the evening of December 9th.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's the last show recording of the 2019 year also.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because we do take a hiatus on both podcasts for the last 3 weeks of the year.
Which is good, because we do record all year. And, I mean, aside from, you know, hey, a scheduled family vacation or something, we record all the time. So it's nice to have that little break, especially with the silly season coming up, you know, because there's still Christmas shopping that's got to get done and decorating and wrapping. And I'm sure we're going to, you know, talk about Christmas or something in a show.
We'll be talking about that pretty soon, I think.
You know, probably right after Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, so I would assume like the week after Thanksgiving.
I think that probably going forward, I think we're starting to wrap up our show here, actually.
Yeah.
The next week's episode should be about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then the show after that, which would be the week of Thanksgiving, I'll probably try to actually talk about Hockey Day in Lockport and junior hockey and high school hockey. It's a big thing for both Howie and I.
Yeah. It means nothing to me, so I'll just sit here and listen.
Well, the cool thing about Howie not being here today, you got to talk.
Yeah.
Because typically, Howie just goes.
Yeah, Howie just goes. And I mean,
he's got five subjects in the same sentence.
Absolutely. We love Howie, but Howie talks.
And then we'll get into a Christmas one right after that, and then our last one will be that 9th. So I think the 2nd and the 9th, the 2nd will be our Christmas one, December 2nd, and the 9th we'll do just our year-end show somewhere in there.
Yeah, sounds good. So next week is not Thanksgiving. So, okay.
But we'll talk about it next week.
Okay, yeah, Thanksgiving traditions, pies, food you like to see, do you watch the football game, stuff like that. Maybe favorite recipes, maybe you have a favorite dish that, grandma or, Aunt Flo makes or something.
Funny stories from holidays. There's always, something ridiculous that happens during the holidays.
I got one for Thanksgiving.
One for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas, so yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have one for Thanksgiving.
I think last year on Shenanigans, we did a Christmas special. We talked about odd Christmas traditions, and we talked a little bit about our own. So we had to think of something different for this year's Christmas special.
Huh.
So we'll have time to think about that. We have a couple weeks.
It could be like maybe some unique decorations, like decorations your kids make.
We have a tree full of those.
We do, too. Like, we don't buy Christmas decorations because we've collected so many from the kids. But anyway, that's a whole nother show.
Yep. And I think we're going to call it a day. It's a little shorter than normal, but we both have things to do. And without Howie here, there's 20 minutes of Howie talk that we've missed. So that would make it a regular episode if he was here.
So we're missing the Howie rant.
Yes.
What is it? The rant of Howard.
So for Bobby, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.